Today's daf is Chulin daf Samach Daler. We are 17 lines from the bottom of daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis, moving along in the sugya of what exactly makes up an oif tahar and what makes up an oif tahar. Says the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Yoimer Kol Yidul Fnei Mishama V'Haya Ilam. It was Galui V'Yodua for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebehema Tmeya Meruba Minat Tahiris, that there are a lot more Behemos Tmeyos than there are Tahiris. In order for a Behema to be Tar, it has to be Mafreses Parso, and it has to be Malaskera. All other animals are Tame, Lefichach. It's for that reason, Mana Akasa B'Tahira. So, to keep it simple, what the Torah did was the Torah mentioned the simonim of a Behema Torah, and everything else is going to be excluded. But the same token, it was Goliath, the Adul of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, that the Oifais Tahirim are much more than the Oifais Tameim. In fact, there are only 24 Oifais Tameim. Everything else is Tar. Lefichach. So therefore, what the Torah did was, it mentioned the 24 Tmeim, so that we'll know that everything not mentioned in the Torah is Tar. Maika Mashmalon, Kidrafuna Marat, Va'amrilo Amarafuna Amarab, Mishumra Meir, La'oilam Yishana Adam, L'tamidoi Derech Kitzar. This is in fact a lesson. It's coming to teach every person who's teaching Talmidim that you should always speak B'Derech Kitzar. That's what the Torah did. The Torah could have been Mairach, and the Torah could have mentioned all the animals that are Tameh. The Torah could have been Mairach, and the Torah could have mentioned all the Oifos that were Tar. But the Torah didn't do that. What the Torah did was, it spoke B'derech Tzara. The Torah spoke about the Behemos Tahirim. The Torah spoke about the Oifos Tmeim. The reason is because they are the Muat, not the Meruba. And from here we learn, Lo'olam Yeshana Adam L'Talmidei Derech Kitzara. Parenthetically, who's the one that said this? Rav, Kidrafuna Amarav, Va'amrilo Amarafuna Amarav, Mishum Rameir. But it's Rav. Rav is the one throughout Shas who has memories about the value of Shtika. Rav said, Sichas Chulin Shatamid Chachamim Tzrichim Talmud Masach Tesukah. Rav says in the beginning of Masach Tes Chagiga that a person is going to have to give Din V'cheshbin for everything, even for the Sicha Kala Shebein Ish L'Ishtoi. The Rambam says about Rav that Rav never spoke a sicha b'teila kol yomav. You find shasik Rav. You don't find shasik Shmuel. You don't find shasik Rabbi Yochanan or shasik Reish Lakish. Rabbi Kivegin Gilyan HaShas in the first paragraph of Masech Tesukah is mitzayin a whole bunch of places in Shas where you find shasik Rav. Rav was a phenomenal shaskin. We've spoken a lot about this. Rav was a chassid. There's a Braisa that mentions Asorim Milu de Chasidus, that Rav was Noyig, and all the Achroidim, Rav Tzvi Hershchayis has a tshuva, and his child's tshuva's Maratzchios, that if the Braisa is mentioning the 10 Milu de Chasidus of Rav, and the Rambam's right, that Rav never spoke the Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav, you'd think it would have made the Braisa's top 10. So how come it's not mentioned anywhere? It says that Rav used to always daven for the Yomid, Rav never looked outside of his Dalet Amos, he never went without his tzitzis and without his tefillin. If Rav never spoke a Sicha B'Teila Kol Yomav, he was such a shaskin. How is it possible? How is it possible it's not mentioned in the Brisa? Either way, again, this is Rav we've spoken a lot about, but this is all Rav. La'olam yeshana adam l'tamidai derech kitzar. Am Rabbi Yitzchak oif tahar nechal b'mesoyres. And this line right here is from the most important lines in the sugyas that we're learning here in the latter part of Perikei L'Treifas. Bezus Hashem, at the end of the daf, we'll speak out some raid about this, but for now, Rabbi Yitzchak said a very important halacha, that if you want to know if an oif is tahar or tamei, as we see that there was confusion even amongst the Amiraim. Even the Mefarshei HaMishnah and the Mefarshei HaTanach weren't sure about the exact nature of many of the 24 Oifois Tmeim that are mentioned in the Torah. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, I'll tell you a very important way to live, and that is, if there's a Mesoira on a knife that it's tar, trust the Mesoira and you could eat it. He continued and he said, Neman Hatzayid Loimar, a hunter is believed to say, Oif ze tahar masali Rebbe. Meaning that is in and of itself a Mesoira as well. If a hunter says, I have a Mesoira from my Rebbe that this is okay, then that constitutes Mesoira and that would be fine. In other words, Rabbi Yisuf was making a broad general statement that oif tahar necho b'mesoiris, and as a sub point to that general statement is that a hunter who says that I have a mesoir from my rebbe, that would constitute mesoir. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan qualified that. He said the only time that Tzayid can trust on what his rebbe told him, and that would be the equivalent of a Messaira is Vahusha Baki Bahem Ubushmoisein. You would need that this Rebbe should be familiar with the 24 Oifos that are Tame. He should also be familiar with the names of the 24 Oifos that are Tame. So if he's someone that's very, very versed, he's very knowledgeable in this field of science, then you can trust him when he tells you that this oif is tar, and that would constitute Messiah. By Reb Zeira said, Rabbi Chacham and Rabbi Tzayit. When Rabbi Yitzchok said that a Tzayit is believed to say that oif ze tahar masali Rebbe. Rebbe as in his Rebbe that he learned in yeshiva from, or and is his Rebbe in hunting, his mentor, the person that taught him his parnasa, says the Gemara Tashmat, I'm Rebbe Yechon, Abu Shabaki Behemu Bishmaisein. Rebbe Yechon qualified this. He said that the only time this Rebbe is believed, if he's very, very knowledgeable in this field, says the Gemara, Bishlemi Rabbi Tzayed, Bishlemi, if we're talking about his Rebbe that's a hunter shaper, then it makes sense. Eli Amr Rabbi Chacham, but if it's his Rebbe, as in his Rosh Yeshiva, Bishlemi Shmayu Gamalu, okay, I could understand that maybe his Rebbe Chacham will be familiar with the names of these animals. Ella or birds, Ella Inu, Mi Yadalahu, but how's he supposed to know the exact nature of these birds? It's so unlikely that his Rebbe Chacham would be familiar with the exact nature of these birds. Thus, it must be, says the Gemara, Ella Lav Shma Mina Rabbi Tzayid, Shma Mina. So Gemara held that this was checkmate, Shma Mina, Shma Mina. This must be proof that when Rabbi Yitzchok said, Neman Atzayit, Loim Oifzeh Toyer Masali Rebbe, doesn't mean it's Rebbe Chacham, because how's his Rebbe Chacham going to be Baki Behem Ubishmaizeyim? It's not Mistaber. Rather, what the Rebbe Chacham will do when he's presented with a Shaila is he'll have resources and different Chachamim, people that are versed in this area of science, and he can speak to them, and they'll be able to impart from their wisdom so that the Rebbe will be able to take that information like the Gedolei HaChachamim and the Poskim did throughout the generations and incorporate it into the Ger Yedias and Shas and Poskim and be able to determine what the Halach is. But the point is, as it relates to this Messaira, if Rabbi Yochanan said that the only time the Rebbe can impart a Messaira is if he's Baki Bahen Ubishmai Seim, it sounds like he himself has to have this knowledge. This is not secondhand knowledge. He has to have it on his own. And it must be that it's Rabbi Tzayit. It's interesting because you do find that the Gedolei HaChachamim were Bekiyim in a lot of areas of science and math and medicine. In fact, the Rambam, when he lists the criteria of being a member of the Sanhedrin, so the Rambam says that in addition to being a tremendous Talmud Chacham and being refined in Midos and being humble, an imposing person, it's also necessary to have secular Yedias, because otherwise, how are you going to judge? And you have to be Oisik B'Yeshuva Shalaylam on some level to be able to understand these basic halachas. But at the same time, I guess to take it to this level of Ahusha Baki Behem of Bishmaisayim, there it was understood by the Gemara, that would have to mean Rabbi Tzayed, that could not mean Rabbi Chacham. In fact, the Vilna Gaon says that you find, with regards to the lav of Shoichat, so the Pasuk says, Ki Shoichat, Ki HaShoichat Ya'aver Eini Chachamim, and you find Ki HaShoichat Ya'aver Eini Pikche. So once the Torah uses the Lashon Chachamim, it's the same laugh. Another time the Torah uses the Lashon of Pikchim. What's the difference between Chachamim and Pikchim? So the Goyin says that a Talmud Chacham, a Dayan, we're dealing with a Dayan, had to be Baki, both in Chachmas HaTorah, and he had to have Shar Yedias as well, because otherwise, how would he be able to properly Paskin Hashayla? How would he know if it's a Din Meruma, Ayin Shama, it's a Vilna Goyin and Mishle? But either way, so there is a concept of Ki HaShoichet Yaber Eini Chachamim, Ki HaShoichet Yaber Eini Pikchim, the way the Rambam lays it out in the beginning of Sanhedrin, but at the same time, on this level of Baki Bemish Maisayim, it was understood that the Messiah would have to be not from Rabbi Chacham, would have to come from Rabbi Tzaitan Rabbanon. So the Gemara is going to digress now. We're going to discuss a completely different halacha, which is going to take us into tomorrow's daf, but we'll come back and Netz Hashem read wise and speak about the Oiftar and the Toif Tameh. But first, a sugya about eggs. Loikim, Beitzin, Menha Oivdek, Echavim, Bechal Machim. You're allowed to buy eggs from a non Jew. The ain chayshishin, and the chiddush is that you don't have to be concerned. Loy mishum nevelus, v'loy mishum treifus. The halacha is that kol hayotze min hatameh tameh. It's a gemara masechtas b'chayrus davav. That anything that you are not allowed to eat, any animal that's off limits, anything that comes from that animal is off limits as well. It's for that reason you're not allowed to drink the chalav of a non kosher animal. You're not allowed to drink even the chalav of a kosher animal, that's a treifa. The same is true for an egg. So if a non-kosher bird lays an egg, obviously the halacha is, you're not allowed to eat the egg. Stating that, says the price of chiddush. You're allowed to buy an egg from a non-Jew, and you don't have to be concerned that this egg, even though you know for sure it's the egg of a chicken, you know it's a kosher egg, you don't have to be concerned, loy mishum nevelus, veloy mishum treifas. Why? The poshet, the reason is, because you could assume that roiv of these eggs are not nevelus, roiv of these eggs are not treifus, it can be semichan roiv, called the parish, maruba parish. It's for that reason it's not going to be a problem. But the Gemara asks, kashav, dumadayv, tamei, ninu. That's all good if you know for sure that it's coming from a kosher bird. So if it's coming from a chicken, for example, which is kosher, so now your concern is, was it a nevela or treifa? We know roiv are treifus, and nevela certainly is going to be a mid. So as a result, we could assume for sure that it's kosher. But what about the concern that maybe it's coming from a non-kosher bird? Not all birds are kosher. I mean, we see it's very confusing, the halachas of what makes a kosher bird a non-kosher bird. So you see an egg, how do you know that it came from a chicken? Maybe it came from something that's not kosher. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, so Rav Yehuda Shmuel answered. He said, it only works if the guy tells you that this egg that I'm selling you, it came from that chicken right there. Oif ployni tar. Two things. Number one, he says it came from an oif tar, but oif ployni. So the Gemara says, v'lei mishal oif tar. Why do you have to say oif ployni tar? Why do the Shmuel have to add that into the ikimta of what the non-Jew has to say in order for us to be able to buy his egg? So the Gemara says, because he hachi islei le'ishtamute, because otherwise he'd be able to finagle his way out if he was ever caught that he wasn't telling the truth. In other words, Avuah Shmuel says, you can't just trust a non-Jew. So you have to have circumstantial evidence. There has to be something making us feel comfortable that he's actually telling the truth. If he points to the chicken, he says, the egg came from this chicken, then we trust him. Why? Because this person's obviously running a business, albeit a mom and pop perhaps. It doesn't matter the size of the business, but this is something that he needs to do in order for him to be able to support his family. So we assume that he won't lie if it can compromise his business in any way. So if he points to a chicken and he says that this is where the egg came from, and then later, if he was found to not be telling the truth, then obviously it would come with an invoice. And that's something we assume he's not willing to do. Thus, it's in that circumstance, and only in that circumstance, that we trust him. If, however, he says, it came from a chicken, it's going to be very hard to disprove him at a later point. He would say, well, it came from a chicken. I know it didn't come from this chicken. So it's true, it came from that one. Or the chicken that it came from died. He has to give us specific information so that we would be able to be sure that he would be afraid to be lying, because if he was lying, we'd be able to find out. What's interesting from this Gemara is it sounds like that on some level a non-Jew has namanas. Ordinarily, if a guy tells you that something is kosher or non-kosher, or if a guy walks into Beis Din and he wants to say edus about that a Reuven loaned Shimon money, of course a non-Jew is pasul edus. So from this Gemara, it would seem that given certain circumstances, there's no question that in any Yehudi, sometimes is belief. Now, of course, if you're going to sit down and learn the sugi, which we're not going to do, the first thing you're going to say is, this is not a question of dinei mamonos. This is not a question of dovesh be'erva. This is certainly not a question of dinei nefashos. This is a question, is it a kosher egg or is it a non-kosher egg? Which finds itself in the chelak of Shulchan Aruch known as Yerideya, which for the most part deals with iser veheter, which then means that you have to invoke the principle of eid echad nemen b'isur, right? What does eid echad nemen b'isur mean? If you're dealing with iser, as in Issevahet, it's kosher, it's non-kosher, it's shatnez, it's not shatnez. You know, questions of Issevahet. So alzen nemar, eidecha nemen bisurim. Eidecha nemen bisurim, by definition, means that it doesn't require hilchaseidus. So maybe for eidecha nemen bisurim, a guy is believed. But the truth is, a guy's not believed eidecha nemen bisurim. He's only believed eidecha nemen bisurim if there is some level of circumstantial evidence. For example, masich lefitumai, and clearly the opinion of Avuah Deshmuel in this Gemara right here, that if there is some sort of umdana that he's not going to be lying, because this is what he does for a living, and he's not going to lie and then have his business shut down. It's not worth it. So it's for that reason he would be believing. There's an important marumakim as it relates to the nemanus of the Eini Yehudi, specifically as it relates to the halacha of it. Echad nemen b'isurim. Tosfos asks another kasha. Right, the Gemara says you're allowed to buy a beitza from an Eini Yehudi. The ein chayshish in loy mishum nevelus v'loy mishum treifus. Why not? So we said because it's a miut. Roiv behemoth like sherim, they're not treifas, and nevelos also a miut. So at the end of the day, you have a roiv, and we're not chayish l'miuta, it's for that reason it's okay. So Mara asked a different kasha. Okay, it's very nice, you're not worried about the fact that it might be nevela treifa, because roiv are not nevela treifa. Maybe it's from a non-kosher bird. Kosher birds are non-kosher birds. Which is the majority and which is the minority? There's 24 non-kosher birds. Every other bird in the world is kosher. If that's the case, roiv should tell me that it's kosher also. So just like you can go bust a roiv and you could assume it's not from an avela or treifa, why can't you go bust a roiv and assume that it's from an oif tar? What's the Gemara's kasha that it has to be from an oif tame? So Tosfos says that really this kasha is totally in the machlekes Rashi Tosfos that we never really spoke about. That's the harder part of the sugya that permeates this entire sugya of oif tame and oif tar. Because as much as it's true that there are 24 oifos tameim, the Gemara keeps on saying that. But at the same time, we also know the Gemara was Sunday stuff. But right in the beginning of the sugya, where the Gemara said that the Torah said that the nesher, that's the first of the 24, 20, 21, 22, 24, whatever, but the first of the oifos tameim that I mentioned in the Torah, and the nesher doesn't have any simoni Torah, and from the pashtus in the Gemara, daf samech aleph, it sounded like that any other oif that doesn't have any simoni Torah is also going to be off limits. So it's true there are 24 oifos that are tmeim that are singled out by the Torah. But we also had that braisa that the Gemara mentioned in Daf Samech Aleph, that at the end of the day, there is a concept of simonim when it comes to an oif, and it sounds like the nafgamina of this simonim would be the nesher. I mean, it would be anything that's similar to the nesher. And just like the nesher has no simoni taira, and it's for that reason it's not okay, so to any other oif that has no simoni taira. That means there might be a lot of oifas in the world that don't have any of the four simoni taira, and as a result, they're also going to be off limits. Now, the truth is, whether such an oif is tame or tahar is machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learned in that Gemara, again, we didn't go through this now, so it's hard to go into it now post de facto, but Rashi at the time learned that when the Gemara said we're marba, everything similar to the nesher, it meant anything within the species of nesher. It has to be something similar to nesher. But at the end of the day, there's 24 types of oifis tmeim, and there's nothing else that's included. I had that braisa that seemed to be marba other oifis only within the world of nesher. But if it's for sure not a nesher and it's not one of the other 23 oifus, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Tosfos' shita was that you have to be marba everything. So Tosfos said, according to me, it's a small Tosfos on the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, this Gemara is a geshmak. Because it's true there's 24. That's true, the Torah listed 24. But there's a very important caveat to this 24. And that is anything that's similar to the Nesha, which is a game changer in halacha, etc. But either way, Zok de Gemara Vaita. So what was the basic halacha? The halacha was you're allowed to buy a beitza from a guy. Stating that, there's a very important caveat, and that is ba'omer shel oif ploy nitar. It's only if the guy points to the bird or the chicken that it came from, and we know for sure that it's tar, it's only then that we trust. Says the Gemara, what's the problem? Meaning, if he doesn't point, you have to be concerned. Maybe it came from an oif tameh. L'chura, there's a way to know if this egg came from an oif tameh or if it came from an oif tar. How's that? V'livdei b'simanim. Why don't we check the simanim of the egg? So we've had the simanei treifa, the simanei behema, the simanim of the dogin, the oifus, the chagavim we're going to have in tomorrow's daf. So says the Gemara, there's simanim of a kosher egg as well. Let's check the simanim, the tanya, ki simanei beitzim, kach simanei dogin. The simanim of our egg are like the simanim of a fish. The Gemara says, simanei dogim sol kadaitach, the simanim of a egg are like the simanim of a fish. We know what the simanim of a fish are. It's a mishnah, snapper v'kaskesis. Right? Fins and scales. No fins and scales on your egg. Amrachman Ella. So the Gemara says, kach simane ubre dog. What it means is that the simonim of an egg, of an oif, are similar to the simonim of the eggs, the roe, of fish. Regardless, what is the simonim? V'tanya gabi beitzim, Elohim simoni beitzim. Kol she koideres v'agu goylis. If it's round, roisha echot kad, v'roisha echot chad. If one side of the egg is rounder, the other one is a little sharper, right? It's that the shape of an egg. Tahira, then it's going to be tar. Beis Rashi Kadim. If both sides are round, or Beis Rashi Kadim, or if both sides come to a point, Tameim, it's going to be Tamei. Chelboin mibachutz, vechelmoin mibachitz, mibefnim. So chelboin, loosely translated, is the white part of the egg. The chelmoin, loosely translated, is the yolk of the egg. If the white is on the outside and the yolk is on the inside, that's the way it's supposed to be, tahira. Chelmoy mi bachot, the chelmoy mi bifnim, if it's in the reverse, tmeya. Chelmoy the chelmoy mi uravim zebezeh, if the white and the yellow are mi uravim zebezeh, and you can take a look at the art scroll for a detailed
discussion of what exactly that could mean. But regardless, biodua shehi beitz asheretz. Then we know that it comes not even from an animal. It must come from a sheretz. But either way, what do you see from here? This simanim of a kosher egg. So, frank the Gemara, what's this whole issue? Why can't you just buy an egg from a non-Jew? He doesn't have to have the money. He doesn't have to be surim asich lefituma. He's not going to risk his business. Rashi's pshat, Tosis pshat, and you could in the chavdal reifis tmeim. Just look at the egg. You'll know from this line of it. Didn't Chazal give us a mesayra of how you're supposed to check if an egg is kosher or it's non-kosher? So the Gemara says, like, tzurik adichatucha. I still remember where the egg was cut already. But the Gemara says, okay, even if the egg was cut, meaning you don't have the shell, you don't have the shape of the egg, you could still check the chelmen and the chelboin. Shouldn't you be able to look and be able to identify it based on the white and the yolk of the egg? So the Gemara says, betrufa, it's bekar. It's talking about, you already had, mashed eggs. So that ayin sibel, it's too late. You know, you already made it. It's sitting on the tail next to the yapta. It's over. So the Gemara says, chagavna mizav nidim enayi. But the Gemara says, 1 second. Then you're not allowed to buy it from him. Because vatayim, we went to the Brisa, ey, moichrim beit say treifa, levi kechavim. You're not allowed to sell an egg that's a treifa to a goy. Elohim came true for Bikara unless it was already mashed. Lefichach is for that reason. Being that you're allowed to sell a mashed egg to a non-Jew, it's for that reason. Ain't like Kamehembes, it's true for his Bikara. You're not allowed to buy a mashed egg from a guy. Why? Because we're afraid that he's going to sell the egg that was a mashed trefa back to a yid. So if you're going to sell it to a guy, now you know the guy's in possession of these treifas, maybe he's going to sell it to you. Bottom line is, you're not allowed to buy a beitz or trufa because you can't tell me that that's what's going on over here. So either way, so what's the kasha? So just, why can't you just look based on the simanim that Chazal gave us and buy an egg from a guy? The Ein Loimar, it's talking about where you mashed it already, so there's no simon. Because if you mashed it and there's no simon, you're not allowed to buy it. Now, we're discussing someone who's allowed to buy it. The shayla is it from an avela? Is it from a treifa? Is it from a oif tamei? So the Gemara says, oh, Rav Zeir said, you have to say simanim lav deiraisa, that these simanim, as it relates to an egg, are not deiraisa. Rashi says, hanuch simani beitzim lav alocha l'mesh misinai ninu. These are not halacha l'mesh misina, and as a result, you're not allowed to rely on them. It's different than the simonim of the oif and the simonim of the behema. These are psukim of the Torah. These are halachas l'mesh misina. As it relates to simonim beitza, they're not halachas l'mesh misina. What then is the significance of it? So the Gemara is going to explain. But first, the Gemara says, "I'll prove to you that they're not real halachas." Rav Asi said, "Shmoyne sfeikah is saying we had this Gemara. There are eight birds that are safik if they're tamir, they're tar. What's the safik? Live like beitzim to do. Why do you check the beitzim? If there's a unique character trait to the beitz of a knife tamir versus a knife tar, then there's an easy way to know if this is tamir tar. Eldash mami nasi manam lav deiraisa. Must be it's not deiraisa." The Gemara says, "Elo lemay hilchasuk tamila. So if it's not deiraisa, then what's the purpose of this simanim? Hachi kam." As we'll see, Beis Rochel Kadim or Beis Rochel Chadin. If you see an egg, and both sides of the egg are round, or both sides of the egg are narrow, or if the yolk is on the outside, the white is on the inside, Vadei Tmeah. These are signs of a Vadei Tmeah. Then you know for sure you can't eat the egg. So the simanim are helpful because if the simanim play out and tell you that it's Tmeah, you know for sure you have to get rid of it. Reishi Chad. If one side is sharp, so Reishi Chad, as in Chad one. It's chad, as in chad sharp, and reishe chad kad, and the other side is kad, it's round, or v'chel, maybe because v'chel b'fnim, or it's the right way, the white is the outside, the yolk is on the inside, v'amalach shalai plain v'taru, and then you want to buy it from a guy, and the guy told you, by the way, it's tar, then smaych aleim, then you can be saying, b'stam alei tismaych aleim, d'ikka urva, d'dami l'dayayna. So the truth is, the simanim are not full-fledged proof in the sense that you can rely on them exclusively. But at the same time, they are helpful in the due diligence process when you're trying to determine whether this is kosher or whether this is non-kosher. Meaning, if you see the beitza and it has the simanei tuma, you know you have to discard it. If you're buying from a guy and he tells you that it's okay and it has the simanei taira, so then in the context of these halachas, when you do trust the guy, you don't trust the guy. So again, we're going through this gemara quickly, but you in the event that we're discussing maybe being able to trust the Eina Yehudi, we can definitely use this as a sniff leheter. It's something that can be used as a resource in us determining whether this is okay or whether this is not okay. Amar chelboin v'chelmoin me'uravim zebezeh b'yadua shi'i beitzas ha-sheretz. In the event that the chelmoin and the chelboin were mixed together, then you know it's from a sheretz. What, like, what, why? difference does it make if the beitza is from a sheretz or it's from something else? Regardless, you're not allowed to eat it. So what? Why does it matter if it's from a sheretz? What it means is if there'd be a little crack in the egg, and somebody would touch the embryo of the sheretz that's inside the egg, he'd become tamei. Assuming it's one of the shmeinu shiratzim that are metamei once they're dead. So the dead embryo, so to speak, would have the ability to be metama, bikadasha, that's the shir that a sheretz is metama, and the halacha would be that you'd be tame. So it's nogeya hilchas toma, maskef l'rabino, v'doma d'nachashi. How do you know from the egg that it's an egg from one of the shmeinu shiratzim? Maybe it's from a nachash, which is a sheretz tahar, can't eat it, but it's not one of the shmeinu shiratzim that are metame to masheretz. So maybe it comes from a nachash. How do you know that you should be tame? Alamai rova, shem rikva v'achma loikola. You're right, that can't be what it meant, because you would have no way to ascertain that the person is tame by touching the embryo inside this egg. Because how do you know that it came from one of the shmeinu shiratzim? Maybe it came from one of the other shiratzim. Where would chapa nafkamina by saying that it's from the sheretz is that if somebody ate it, he would get malchus mishum sheretz hasheretz ala aretz. If somebody eats a sheretz, he gets malchus. So that's where it's negay. It's negay to give the person malchus. Ihachi. And for that, it doesn't have to be one of the shmeinu shiratzim. Right? You get malchus if you eat any sheretz hasheretz ala aretz. The shmeinu shiratzim are unique. Right? You hear a lot about the shmeinu shiratzim, perik and masechta Shabbos. But that's always in the context of tumah. As it relates to tumah, there's something unique about the shmeinu shiratzim. Every sheretz, you can't eat an insect. Doesn't matter if it's from the shmeinu shiratzim or it's the ninth sheretz. The halach is you can't eat a sheretz ala aretz. So as it relates to tumah, you have to know if it's from the shmeinu or not. But as it relates to the isra achila, not just isra achila, the malchus, there, then that's where it was negated, this halach. Ihachi mai irya de tmeya, afilo de tahirinam. But the Gemara's kash is, if that's the case, if we're discussing knowing that this is a sheretz by virtue of the fact that the chelmoin and the chelboin are muravin zebezeh, and it chaps a nafkamina to know it's a sheretz to give the person malchus, the truth is, even if this was from an oif tahar, if a person cracked the egg and ate the contents of that egg, the halacha is he would get malchus regardless. What does that mean? The Tanya, kol asheretz asheretz ala oretz l'rabbis efroichim shaloi niftechu eineyem. So the halach is that if there's a little chick inside the egg, it was loi niftechu eineyem, didn't even open up its eyes yet, and then it died, if somebody would eat it, the halach is he would get malchus for kol sheretz asheretz ala oretz. Now, sheretz asheretz ala oretz, usually you think of a sheretz. This is not a sheretz. This is a little chick that, you know, never hatched and never fully developed. Like niftechu eineyem, and as a result, but it was a kosher bird. What does this have to do with a sheretz hasheretz al haaretz? Chazal marbe from kol sheretz hasheretz al haaretz, that the halacha is that even that chick you wouldn't be able to eat. But regardless, so what do you see from there? You see that mamonav shech, a person is going to crack open the egg and he's going to eat that little embryo, that little life that's inside the egg, he's going to get malchus, whether the chelmen and the chelbein are muravim zebezeh, and we know it's from a sheretz, or if it's a regular geheder egg, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, even if it's a regular kosher chick, at the end of the day, l'rabbi sefreichem shloi niftechoi neim. So why do I need to know that it's a sheretz to get malchus for chol sheretz hasheretz al haaretz? Even if it's a regular efreyach, it's still going to be sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. The Gemara says no, because that halacha, although it's true, but it's only midrabban of across machdav alma. Midai raisa, there's no malchus. If someone eats efreichem shloi niftechoi neim, it's only midrabban. But if someone eats a sheretz, for that there is malchus. So it's negeya. If you saw the egg was the chelmein and the chelboin and you ate it, you'd get malchus for chelsheretz, hasheretz, al-aretz, which would not be the case if it was merely an efrech. Tanu rabbanon. Giule beitze mutar. So if somebody cooks kosher eggs and non-kosher eggs together in the same pot with hot water, so this is hilchas taruvos 101. So do you say that the egg is maflit and it's not the same time, the non-kosher one, into the kosher one, or no? So this is an egg in its shell, says the Braisa, the halach is mutaris, it's mutar, because nothing is transferring from point A to point B. Thus, ge'ule beitzin, the halach is mutaris. Rashi says, the maya ba'almahu, v'loyavi tamu ba'achrenaisa. There's no time that's going over from one egg to the other egg, so if you cook a kosher food together with a non-kosher food together in the same pot with boiling water, that's a big problem. But in this case, being that these are eggs in a shell, you have nothing to worry about. Beitzim muzarois, those are addled eggs. Nefesh yofa toichlein. If someone is not very squeamish, meaning he can handle it, toichlein, he could eat it. Now, you see two things from here. Number one, that if you are squeamish, you can't eat it. And the reason is because there's a law called Bal Tishaktsu. So, Bal Tishaktsu, that's Nafshei Seichem, teaches me you're not allowed to put yourself in a super uncomfortable situation. So if you can really handle it, then yeah, it's Beseder. But if you can't, then it's actually Aser. But additionally, you see a Chiddush over here, that if you're a Nefesh Yofa, you're allowed to eat it. Why would you think you're not allowed to eat it? It's an egg. The reason is because these eggs often have blood spots in them. So an addled egg is like a rotten egg. It's an egg that never fertilized, right? Just basics. A chicken lays an egg every single day, right? Approximately every 24 to 27 hours, a chicken lays an egg. Now, sometimes that egg will hatch into another chicken, and sometimes the egg will just be an egg that you can make scrambled eggs with. So what determines it? If the chicken mated, the hen mated with the rooster prior to it laying its egg, then the egg is going to fertilize, and an Efrayach is going to come out, another chicken. If it did not mate, then it's going to be a good old-fashioned egg. So Beitzim Muzarois are eggs that were laid after the hen mated with the rooster, and really, it should have hatched into another chicken, but something went wrong, and it just, for some reason, never properly fertilized, and as a result, it's a spoiled rotten egg, it's an addled egg, and most people wouldn't eat it. But if you could handle it, you're allowed to eat it, there's no Bal Tishaktsu, because you can handle it, and not just that, the fact that there may be a little bit of blood, which there likely will be, is also not an issue, and that's a chiddush. Now, what do you mean it's not an issue? You have to get rid of the blood. But as long as you get rid of the blood, you're allowed to eat the egg. The Brisa continues and says, similarly, as it relates to a regular egg. Sometimes you crack an egg, you'll see a little bit of egg. It doesn't mean you have to get rid of the egg, says the Brisa. You just have to get rid of the dam, and you can eat the egg. Stating that, it's not so simple. The only time this is true is if the blood was found on the keshet. That's the part of the egg where the sperm of the rooster touches the egg. Discussion of where exactly that is. There's a picture in some of the Gemaras as well. Another important qualification of when, if you have blood on an egg, all you need to do is discard the blood and you're allowed to eat the rest of the egg. And that is if it was found on the chelboin, if it was found on the white of the egg. But if it penetrated the egg, it's in the yolk of the egg, the entire egg is going to be awesome. My time of the shadow, because once it's in the yellow, it's already mu'rav in the entire egg. There's no way to save the egg. Amalei Rav Gavia mi Beksilu Rav Ashi Ibchatani Tana Kameda Abaya. That if you want to know the history of this halacha, you should know that I heard a Tana tell it to Abaya just the opposite. He told Abaya that if the red, the blood was on the yellow of the egg, then it's going to be okay. If it's only on the white of the egg, then it's not going to be okay. Abaya who detarts an Alei Hachi, and Abaya told him, no, you made a mistake. It's really supposed to be in the reverse exhale. So either way, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on these halachos of eggs. But for now, we've been learning the halachos of what exactly makes up an oif tahar and what exactly makes up an oif tameh. I think one thing is clear, that it's confusing. We do what we do, but at the same time, these are definitely confusing halachas. I mean, you have the psukim in Parshas Shmini, where the Torah doesn't mention anything about the simanim of an oif tahar. Rather, what the Torah does is the Torah mentions 20 oifos that are tamei. And then you have the psukim in Parshas Rei, where again, the Torah says, kol tzipar, you're allowed to eat a tzipar. And we said in tzipar, b'shem darizal, it's merumis, the four simanim of an oif tahar. But the Torah doesn't mention anywhere mefurish what exactly makes up an oif tahar. And there the Torah doesn't list 20 oifos that are tamei. There the Torah lists 21 oifos that are tamei. And one of the oifos tamei mentioned in Parshas Shmini, the da'a, is not mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. Two of the oifos mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, the ra'a and the da'ya, are not mentioned in Parshas Shmini. Then you have the laminehu, that are amarba. And then the Gemara talks about learning that maybe, although the Torah just mentioned certain oifos that are tamei, and didn't mention anything about an oif tahar, it sounds like everything else is going to be tahar, but then we had the Brais and Daf Samach Aleph that seemed to say something about if it's similar to a nesher where it doesn't have any of the simone tahira, then it's going to for sure be off limits. And a machlekes Rashi Tosfos exactly what that means. Then we had this idea that came up a few times that an oif that's doyres is for sure off limits. Why is an oif that's doyres for sure off limits? I thought there's, if anything, four simone tahira, and the only time it's an issue is if you're like the Neshe that has zero of the Simani Taira. So though when it comes to Behemah, you have to have both Simanim to be Tar. It sounds like when it comes to a knife, you have to have all four Simanim to be Tameh. But as long as you have one of the Simani Taira, that would be enough. Again, not an easy sugya to sit down and learn. So what's the bottom line? Let's fast forward all the way till the end. Bypass all the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Paiskim. So what's the bottom line, Lamaisa? How does a person reconcile Halacha Lamaisa when it comes to what the definition of an Oif Tahar and what the definition of an Oif Tam is? Says the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, Dinei Oif Tahar, it's in Yerudea, Simin Pei Beis, it's one Simin, it's five Se'ifin. Simani oif tar lo nisparish min hatar. Says the mechaber, this simani of an oif tar not mefurish in the Torah. Ella man mana minim tmeim bilvad. What the Torah did was the Torah listed the minim tmeim v'shar minei ha'oif mutar, and all other oifas that are not mentioned in the Torah are going to be mutar. V'an minim asurim, says the mechaber, if you want to do the math, it's chav dalet hamurim b'tayr. There's 24 minim that are tamei. Says the mechaber, kol misha who baki ba'isa minim, which might say anyone that's baki in those 24 minim, ha'reza oichel kol oif she'enu mehem. Ve'enu tzarech b'dika. Then you're good. As if you know the definition, the taich of the 24 minim in the Torah, you'd have absolutely nothing to worry about because it's only those 24 minim. There's no binyanavs and mamatzinus, taich of sheet, nothing. You have nothing to worry about. As long as you know these 24 simanim, ein tzarech b'dika. Stating that. What if you don't know it? That's where it gets interesting. And the Mechaber has a long simon of exactly what the halacha is. I'll just read it. Then you have to come onto the tzayid. Then you have the halacha of kol oif shehu doyres. And then you have the halachas of the etzba. And what exactly is an etzba? And the kurkava niklav. What's the definition of kurkava niklav? And a whole shulchan aruch here. A festive cotton here in Mechaber, in simon pei beis. Siv cotton base, but it's only the game if you don't know the 24 Eifers that are Tommy. If you know the 24 Eifers that are Tommy, this is simple. Because the Torah said there's 24 Eifers that are Tommy. The problem is we don't know the Eifers. So we have to now use the clues that Chazal gave us of what exactly Eif Torah and Eif Tommy is to try to figure out what we can eat for supper. But really, if we knew the 24 Eifers, HaMefurashim b'Torah, it would be very simple. That one line, says the Mechaber, would be the easy way out. Kol Mishah Ubaki Ba'isam Minim L'Shmaiseim HaReza Oichel Kol Oif She'eno Mehen Ve'eno Tzarech B'dika. But from a practical standpoint, we don't know what the 24 Eifers are. As a result, in the world of the Beis Yosef and the Mechaber, it's very tricky to figure out exactly what a kosher bird is. Stating that, the Ramah came, was Magia on this Mechaber in Sifkot and Gimel, and he made it very simple. Says the Rama, V'yesh oimim, she'ein lismoich afilu alze. What does alze mean? On all the aforementioned. Don't be soimich on any bedikas. V'ein lechol shum oif. And you should never eat a knife, elo b'mesoyrish shekiblu boi shahu tahar. Unless we have a mesoyrah, that this oif is tahar, v'chein noyagim, that's the minig, v'ein l'shan ois. So the Rama says there's no mokrim over here to be mekel. The Rama, k'darki was machmer, and the Rama says forget all the simanim. It's not negeya. Ein lismoy chafilu azeh, and the only time you eat an oif is b'mesoyrish shekiblu boi shahu tahar, v'chein noyagim, v'ein l'shan ois. And of course the makar to this Rama is the Lashon HaGemara that we started today's daf with, where the Gemara said, Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, oif tahar nechel b'mesoyrish. But pashat oif tahar Nachab Mesoyrus meant that you could use Mesoyrah. Mesoyrah is a very valuable resource when it comes to determining what's kosher and what's not kosher. What the Ramah did was, is the Ramah took this halacha and he said, this is the only halacha that's negeya. L'kula l'chumra. So Oif Tar Nachab Mesoyrus was more of a kula in the Gemara, Mesach Tischul and Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis. But the Ramah turned it into a chumra as well. The Ramah said, this is the only thing you can rely on. Meaning, if there's no Mesoyrus, even though as far as you're concerned, it's not a dairis, and as far as you're concerned, it has the Etzbi Yaseirah, and it has a Zefek, and the Kurkavan, I'm pretty sure you can take it off with your finger. It doesn't matter. You can have all the simanim in the world. But the bottom line is we have the way it works is, Ein lechol shum oif ela b'mesoyrus shekiblu boi shehu tahar v'chein noyagin v'ein l'shanes. Now, over the years, there were some interesting halachic discussions about certain oifos that somehow made its way onto the menu in kosher restaurants, and there was a discussion of whether we have a Messiah or we don't have a Messiah. And this was particularly an issue when, you know, Columbus discovered America and Jews started populating America in the 19th century, and I'm sure earlier as well, but this is where you start finding tshuvas that were written about certain oifos that American Jews were eating, where there was no Messiah because, I mean, these were American quote-unquote oifai. So obviously, you're not going to have a Messiah going back to Ravina and Ravashi or to Abai and Rav. They weren't eating it in Bavel. They weren't eating it in Pumpadisa. So the question is if there was no Messiah, then Lechaira, the Shailas, are these things that are you allowed to eat or these things you're not allowed to eat? Now, the most famous Shaila is the turkey. But rather than talk about the turkey, I think it's a little curveball. I think instead we'll talk about a specific duck that the Gedolei HaPoskim discussed, and that's the Muscovy duck. M-U-S-C-O-V-Y. The Muscovy duck. And just to begin the conversation, this discussion with an article that I read, written by Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky. He's a professor at Bar Ilan University. I saw this on kashrut.com. So the story really begins with this duck that appeared for the first time in the United States. And the Shiloh arose. Is it okay or is it not okay? So he brings this. In 1860, Rabbi Yisachar Doiv Ilowi, in possession of smicha from the Chassam Sofer and his Presbyterian yeshiva, he also had a PhD from the University of Budapest, arrived as the new rabbi in New Orleans and declared that the Muscovy duck cannot be possibly treated as a kosher species because there could be no Messiah for it. And he tells the history of it. The story was as follows. Rabbi Ilowi relates that it was 8 months that he had served as the Rav of Shari Chesed in New Orleans. And in that period, he had been blessed with success. So again, this is Rabbi Yisachar Doiv Ilowi. He was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. He also had a doctorate from the University of Pressburg. So he was clearly Hungarian. And he comes to New Orleans and he becomes the rabbi in the year 1860. It was 8 months since he had become a Rav. And apparently he had been seeing a lot of success. He proudly declares, this was in a letter that he wrote, that after his first sermon, 40 important merchants began closing their businesses on Shabbos, and more than 10 families that previously ate non-kosher fully kosher their houses, such that even the most stringent person could eat there. He then relates that on his third day in town, he found that his friend was raising for food a strange-looking bird known as the Muscovy duck. He was unable to trace a valid Messiah that permitted this bird, and he thus ordered that it no longer be eaten. And he so preached in the synagogue. Some of the congregants began to object to this rabbinic decree and claimed that a Messiah existed. They said, no, we have a Messiah to eat this Muscovy duck. Now, there was a Messiah to eat duck. The Gemara talks a lot about duck. But this particular duck, the Muscovy duck, he said, really, what's the Messiah? He said, the previous chazan. He used to eat it. So he says, tell me a little bit about the chazan. So he found out about the chazan, and he wasn't very impressed. He said, this chazan apparently was a Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesia. Not only that, he used to sell chazer on Shabbos. They also told me that there was a Messiah that people were eating Muscovy duck, Jews were, in Charleston, South Carolina, and in Jamaica. But Rabbi Ilowi held that there were never gedolim that were living in those cities, and as a result, he didn't feel that was able to constitute Messiah. There was an uproar in the community. This was a basic staple of food that they used to eat, and Rabbi Ilowi was a Talmud Chassam Sofer. He brought real ultra-Orthodox principles to a city in New Orleans, and they weren't very happy. So he decided that he's going to send the Shiloh to Gdol Yisrael. So he sat down, he wrote a Shiloh. Is it okay to eat the Muscovy duck, or is it not? And he sent it to two Gdolim. He sent it to Rav Nosson Adler, who is a Rav in London, and he sent it to Rav Shamshul Fol Hirsch, who is the Rav in Germany. And they both responded. Rabbi Hirsch answered from Frankfurt in a short letter on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Re'eh, that's what these halachas are discussed, August 22nd, 1862. He agreed with Rabbi Ilowi that a Messiah from reliable people is required and did not exist. In this case in particular, he continued, the eggs definitely prove the Muscovy non-kosher. He said that if you look at the eggs, you could use the simen that Chazal gave us in today's daf, and you could add that as a sniff. The bottom line is, he told him, you're now allowed to eat it. This was August 22nd, 1862. Rabbi Adler, Rav Nosson Adler, also sent a tshuva. This was actually earlier, July 31st, 1862. He apologized for the delay, and then he writes that he normally would refrain from answering without hearing both sides, but in this case, he investigated and found that in London, the Muscovy was treated as non-kosher because of a lack of Messiah. Thus, both of those authorities concurrent with Rabbi Eloi's opinion in banning the consumption of the Muscovy. So this was Rabbi Eloi who saw this Muscovy duck in New Orleans. He sent a shayla to the Gedoyle Yisrael, Rabbi Nassim Adler, Chassidus Rebbe, and to Rabbi Shamshel Fall Hirsch, London, Germany. The letters arrive in New Orleans, and he was told that this is off limits. There's no Messiah, even though there's Messiah for duck, but there's no Messiah for this particular duck. Stating that, there were tshuvas written by Gedolei Yisrael about this Muscovy duck, and not everybody agreed with the psak of Nassim Adler and with the psak of Rav Shamshel Farl Hirsch. The Avni Nezer, it's printed in Yerideya, Simon Ayin Hay wrote a tshuva about this Muscovy duck. Now it's interesting, he in the tshuva describes a little bit more what the shaila was. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a duck. So if it's a duck, why should it be an issue? And the reason is because there's certain characteristics of the Muscovy duck that are different than a typical duck. First of all, its neck is longer. Number two, its nose is a little bit different. Third, and this is interesting, it doesn't quack. It actually makes different noises. I was thinking as a good title for today's daf would be, if it looks like a duck, and walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, is it a duck? But the truth is it doesn't quack like a duck. And that's really one of the the unique simanim about this duck, is it actually doesn't quack. Regardless, the Avni Nezer wrote a shayla. He says like this, B'dvar ha'avazim, asher huvo levarsha, mi'medina sarichoykin berusia, u'behem shinuyim me'avazim shalanu, ve'hem avazim me'avazim shayinim. So it's a species of duck, but it's a little bit different. Yesh mehem mechulakis mishalanu. Some of them are different. B'mashet savarim aruch mishalanu. Their necks are longer. V'yesh mehem oid sheyesh lam gavshushes beroisham. V'hu shinui gadol. V'yesh mehem oid shechartumam shachar. Their noses are different. Ke'en bar avzo. U'bimekoyim esahim oichlam oisam. Achachilosam eni mishu mesoiris klal. They don't have a mesoiris. Ki eretz lo yehoye ba yisrael mitchila. There were never any Yidden living there. So the question is it okay or is it not okay? And the Avni Nezer Kedarke B'Kodesh wrote a beautiful tshuva, being mefalful in Torah Shabbal Peh. And the first Gemara that he ran to was a Gemara Masechtes Bavakama Daf Nunhe Amin Aleph. The Gemara over there is talking about Kalayim. And the Gemara says, is it okay to mate an Avaz and an Avaz Habar? Two different types of geese. And the Gemara says, Avaz va'avaz habar kalayim zebezeh. The Gemara doesn't understand. Why should it be kalayim? Is it because the necks are different? Necks are different? This is a Gemara above a camel. Tafnun hayim adal. Is that a reason for a neck to be different? I mean, why would that constitute last omen in Shosh and Agach HaSapara? So everyone knows above a camel nun hay. Because nun hayim adbez is parak ha-kindness. But not everybody knows nun hayim adalif. So nun hayim adalif talks about this halach. The Muscovy duck. Well, it's not the Muscovy duck, but the point is the Gemara has a whole discussion. What would determine Kalayim? Zok Davni Nezer. That if the Gemara says that the size of a neck is not a shinoi in Hilchas Kalayim, then why should it be a shinoi when it comes to the Mesiris of Eifus? So just because this has a Yaza neck and this has another neck, that shouldn't be a different. But then the Avni Nezer says, Avol Kosav, Kvaitei Rasoi, Sheyesh Behem Oit Shinoi. They have another shinoi. Shekoila Mishuna Mishalano. Their noise, their voices are different. Hainu, Shem, Heiserig, Ktsas. They're a little Heiserig. I think the point is they don't quack, and that's a big shinui because everyone knows a duck quacks. So if it doesn't quack, this is a problem. V'ulai zeh shinui gadol. That could be already a shinui gadol lehichashev kalayim. This already maybe would make it kalayim. V'lo yoyel hamasayir shalav azameilu. So this was the one shinui that bothered the Avnei. The other ones he said, I have a gemara in Shoshanagach HaSapara. Where? You remember that from Shoshan Agach HaSapara? It's tucked away. It's the last omen right before Perek HaKoinus. But it says the Avni Nezer as it relates to the fact that it doesn't quack, that Heizerik Tzas. So this is already an issue. So said the Avni Nezer a Dover Nifla. He said there's a Gemara in Masechtes Bechairis, Dav Zayin Amin Aleph. The Gemara says like this, Amr Rabbi Shulman Levi, just one excerpt from a long Gemara. Lo Oilam Ein Misaberes. Loi Tameya Minat Tahar, V'loi Tahar Minat Tameya. He said that a behema that's Tameh cannot mate with a behema that's Tahar, and vice versa. So the Allah is a Tameh and a Tahar cannot mate. Said that Avni Nezer, if that's the case, we have a very easy way to experiment and to see whether the Muscovy duck is Tameh or Tahar. Let's mate it together with a regular duck. What's going to happen? Now, the truth is, you know what's going to happen is the ducks are going to be born. Not just ducks, but good ducks. This hybrid of duck is actually more chashev, says the Avinezi. He heard people spend a lot of money for this hybrid. It's considered very chashev. He said, if that's the case, that's a simin, lanias daiti, that this is really okay. Now, to rely on this exclusively, I'm assuming you can't. I mean, just like the Gemara said in today's daf, the beitzim of the ches sfeikas in and of itself wouldn't be considered real proof. I don't know if this simin is deiraisa either. But the point is, as a sniff, for sure, in his tshuva, Davni Nezer said that you commit. Incidentally, another chiddush Davni Nezer saying is this Gemara, Bishul Malev was talking about animals, wasn't talking about birds. But regardless, he's telling the suit to birds, and then he brings that Chassam Soif already wrote a tshuva about using this Rabbi Shua Malevi's memra in Bechiris Dav Zayin. The fact that two animals are able to mate, that could be a simen, that tahar. The bottom line is, he says as follows, Nashul v'nidin didan, after writing a long tshuva, ki nikach b'kfar mehem la'arviyam ima avzois, halayhem shavim yoysa mikiflayim me avzois shalom. That when you mate these ducks, the offspring ends up being worth double, more than double what the regular bird is. V'im be'emes kein hu shem es abrim zem mizeh, umbaylidim beitzim, umigadlam efroichim, yiraya shekulam kasherim. That's a raya, they're all kosher. And then he says something interesting. That this only works, this test, b'chayrus dav zayin, because there's no Messiah. Meaning, there's no Messiah here nor there. We don't have a Messiah that it's kosher. We don't have a Messiah that it's not kosher. Before Columbus discovered America, nobody was familiar with this Muscovy duck. But if you had an oif, that you had a Messiah was tameh, then already you can make all the tests in the world. It's not going to help you. But the bottom line is that Avni Nezer came out, L'chein nir elishim yodu Hashem es abrim zem mizeh, umaylidim beitzim, umagadlun afroichim, ein lefakfeik, al heterim. So even though Rav Nosson Adler, Rav Shamshul Fal Hirsch, both wrote to Rabbi Loi that it's not okay to eat this Muscovy duck, Avni Nezer held not that way. Avni Nezer held that it is okay. It's interesting that the Netziv in his Meshav Dover also wrote a tshuva about this Muscovy duck. It's in Chelik Beis, it's Simin Chav Beis. And he said something that I don't fully understand, but he said seemingly a very big chiddush. He said like this, he wrote a whole tshuva on it. And then he said, Kol Zeh, this would only be a shayla, im hayubal lefanei meirosh. Had the first person who was about to eat the Muscovy, before he put it in his mouth, he would have gone over to the Netziv, and he would have asked the Netziv, is it okay to eat it? That's when my Shaila, my Tshuva that I just wrote to you, that's where that would be relevant. But from what I hear, the way the Shaila is presenting it to me, people are eating it already. It's already Mikubal. It's made its way around. Even though it's not a real Messiah. Messiah suggests that it's multi-generational. It means it goes back direct. What exactly? I'm not sure. But it goes back a long time. There's for sure no Messiah on this. But if that's the case, then you could assume on a chazakah, listen to this. Do you have a chazakah that yid, the chazan in New Orleans, that used to sell chazan on Shabbos, was eating it al pi ha'iras chacham? I'm not sure. But either way, there is some sort of chazaka. It's and then he brings a raya. He says, the Gemara talks about the Tarnagoyla da Agma. So the Gemara said that the Tarnagoyla da Agma was Aser. The Tarnagoyla ta da Agma was Mutter. So the male Tarnagoyla da Agma was a problem. The female was the simonich amoini v'loy amoinis, right? The amoini is also loving because for some reason I remember that, and the amoinis is not amoini v'loy amoinis. That was the point of the gemara. That's the simon, right? So the tarnagolta was mutter. Then the gemara says they realized afterwards that it was a tois. That really the tarnagolta, the agma is really tummy because they realized afterwards that it was tois. So it says what happened over here. The amiram also l'chayre followed the halach of mesayra, and if there was no mesayra, they wouldn't have eaten it. That's what the nitziv says. Says if that's the case, they obviously didn't have a mesayra. Because if they had a Messiah that it was Tahar, then it would have been Tahar. Then had they find out afterwards that it was really Dairus. So he said, probably there was no real Messiah, but the Yidden ate it, and they relied on this Chazakah that it was probably a Pierre Ras Chacham, so ain't Lefakfik Azah. So says the Netziv, if that's the case, you see that something like that is fun, because that must be the rest of the story by the Tarnagolta. What else happened by the Tarnagolta? There was a Messiah, and the Messiah was wrong. Chalila, it can't be. If a real Messiah would have been right. Elamai, there was no Messiah. And people ate it, and they said, okay, if you're eating it, you're eating it. Hanachlem b'nei Yisrael, let them eat it. So says the Netziv, that I hope that being that people are eating it already, ein lanu osir lahoitzi lazal av yisenu sh'ochlo ich tamichas v'shalom. And he says, it's for that reason, he's mitzdarif, other things lakula. He says, said it's after the fact, it's gonna be okay. And then he says, but I'll prove to you. Shehetera oif indik, and this is, if we'll have time, a segue into tomorrow. And that is the heter ha'oif indik, also known as turkey. Sha'anu oichlin, hayu harbe ma'arim aleh. There were a lot of people that had issues with it. B'shashay via me India, when it came from India. V'layhayim misayres al kashrusam. It's interesting because we know it as turkey, but in Chazal, in the vernacular, it's referred to as the oif that came from India. But either way, the gam oif hayoyim yesh machmir meparshim yam. Says, I know people today that don't eat turkey. Why do people eat it? Because people eat it. Precisely because people eat it is why people eat it. Because we say, okay, that's what it is. We're not going to be mitzi las chas v'shalom. V'ush mishum shekfar huchzeku le'teira. V'ein rai lo'isram. Once it's huchzeku le'teira, you need a good reason to ask it. Hochanami b'hani avzis hagdelas kach daiti hakala noita. This is what he himself thinks the halacha should be. Just to end, so what's the bottom line? Rav Nosson Adler, Rav Shamshul Fall Hirsch said that the Muscovy duck is a problem. Davni Nezer wrote a tshuva, and Meshav David and Etziv wrote a tshuva, and this mamish gedoyle achroinim. So what's the bottom line? So it's just interesting that Rav Hirsch Pesach Frank, in a very, very small tshuva, in his Har Tzvi, it's also sim in Ayin Hei. So in Davni Nezer, it's Ayin Hei Yerideya, and in Har Tzvi, it's also Ayin Hei. So he says like this, I'll Das habar avzei sheyesh mem shino v'yesh mem gav shushas aduma al lechayim v'achartem. He means this talk. Ha'uv dehi, one paragraph. Ki lefnei arbam v'chamish ha'shonim, 45 years ago, ba ish miyuchad shliach mehameshaves ha'yehudes sheba Argentina. A yid came from Argentina. V'hoylechimoy bar avzei hazois b'she'elo liYerushalayim. And he brought it to Yerushalayim. The rest of the story is he brought it to Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the Av Bezdin in Yerushalayim. And he asked him, Mutarais Ba'achilo, Va'oz Hiskimu Lehetera. And they came out that it's Mutar. Im Kozeh says, Rav Tzvi Pesach, Eni Roitze L'sayeya She'yisbashe Lehetera. I don't want to play a role in being Mefarsim that this was the Bezdin of Yerushalayim, of Shmuel Salant's Bezdin. He said, it doesn't want to be Mefarsim that they were matered, because I know there are people that don't eat it, and I just don't want to touch it. So I don't want to play a role. Any roitzi l'sayeya she'yispash it ahead. It's a nice lashon. Uledaiti, dai lanu shloi limcheis b'mishoichel. You certainly can't be Meichel, because the Bezdin of Yerushalayim said that it's okay. Avaloi lazer lahaschel b'minik chadosh ben elosh in Nizirat kai. But at the same time, I don't want to be Mefarsim it, and let the people that are machmir, I think the machmirim should remain machmirim, but at the same time, the people that are mekel, ain't limchis b'yadam.